like to introduce the first of tonight's speakers, Louisa.
Thank you, Shelley. My name's Louisa, and I'm a really hot, hot, sweaty addict. And I really wanted to sit here. I really wanted to sit here thinking, God, when I came round 4.25 years ago, I did a tea commitment when I was coming off my Subutex, and I used to sweat and sweat. And as I was making the tea and made a veil, sweat would pour in, and I didn't. I was so ashamed, and here I am 4.25 years later, sitting here sweating, and I don't want to, but there we go. I say the quarter because every month really means something to me. I first came round in 1985, and I got 5 years clean, and I kind of want to get further than I did before, and I've been thinking a lot about my different. I've had 2.5 years at another point, and I was thinking, what is different about this time to last time? How does recovery differ for me? Firstly, I'm sitting here in a pink dress. That gives me the evidence that this is a program of change, because I used to have black spiky hair. I wore black, you know, black, black, black. One of my sons said to me, "Mum, you're wearing pink." And I just thought, yeah, you know, why not? I'm a girl. You know, sometimes I'm in denial of that, but I am. And so what it shows me is that anything is possible. And I was thinking, because I used to really knock my first recovery. And I was clearing out the other day. I was ill. I had a gastric flu, which, when I'd been, that would often trigger, oh, God, it's like being on a clock. But this time I thought, no, I'm going to use it. I'm going to read old stuff. I'm gonna milk being ill in a good way rather than in a, oh my God, it triggers old memories. And I read my 1985 journal. You had to do, I was in Weston-super-Mare, you had to write a day plan and your feelings. And I really got what I didn't get is that it's that my step three, that I've always believed in something, but it was a punishing higher power. I was a really good teenage thief. I was a really good teenage beggar. I used to squat up in North London. I used to come down here, and I was a really good beggar. So I used to pray to God beforehand, please don't let me get caught. Or if I was doing some criminality, please don't let me get caught. And I didn't get caught, so I thought, no brainer, there is a God. But when I got clean, suddenly I attached all this fear. If I did anything wrong, I would be punished and I would use and die. Very much in 85 it was, you know, this is how I perceived it. I don't think it was my perception that if you didn't do everything right or made a mistake, you would use and die. And so my spiritual program didn't really evolve. What I did do, I put all my efforts into the outside. And I didn't really get it. It was an inside job. This is a spiritual program of 12 steps. I saw it as I was 19 years old and I wasn't a heroin addict. I'd started my relationship with needles when I was 14 with Dicanol. I used to mix it with Tunol, a bit of Ritalin, and I thought I was a chemist. I thought that I could get anyone's veins, my kind of, the people I looked up to, which back in the 80s were the dilly junkies. They frightened me, they were much older than me, there was an edge of something, and it was really, really attractive. And I went out with a boy called Tunol Barry, and his mum was called Tunol June. They knew every single chemist, and I thought I had arrived. So when I was clean, I had a counsellor called Mike at Broadway Lodge, and he said, sometimes people call me Lou, get a haircut. A year on, I then went to Western Counselling. When I came back to London a year later, I'd gone in looking one way, and I came out somebody completely different. I became an estate agent. Sorry, if you'd see the way it's just laughable. I got a car. I found my list of what I wanted when I was first clean, and it was to have a hi-fi. Back in those days, there was vinyl. You had cassettes. I wanted to pass a driving test. I wanted to have a dog, and I wanted to have a successful relationship. I got all those, and I got more, but as I said, it was an outside job. What I didn't understand is that recovery this time has given me 12 steps, which are my absolute toolbox for living. I didn't realise that humility meant that I could be human, that I can make mistakes. Thank fuck, so I'm not going to share. Charlie. The other thing this time round, I came in with Tourette's, because I don't know about feelings. So when I came in, my world was so small, my vocabulary was so small. So I'm not going to say it, but everything was C dot 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 ing and F, and because I didn't know how to speak, I didn't know. My kids were being taken away from me. This was happening, that. I had another court case. So everything in my life, it came down to on those were two words. And that worked for me. When I'm nervous, which I am now as I look around here, that bit of using that basic vocabulary is what I kind of want to hide behind. But I'm not going to, because this is a programme of change. I want to highlight every word I say with a swear word, but I'm really going to try not to. So my toolbox of these steps that has taught me this time round, which, God, it's taken me 28 years. A lot of girls I was in the halfway house, well, three, they've all just got their 28 years. And I didn't understand that a higher power could be whatever I want. It was forgiving. He, she, what, doesn't matter, is loving, that I am, it's not the end of the world. If I make a mistake, as long as I'm honest about it, I fess up, I own it, I learn from it, that it's, you know, that I am a human. And that's not what, so when I relapsed after 5 years, I'd stopped, my meetings were down to one a week. I had my, I didn't have a sponsor. I didn't, it, all those core things that now I absolutely cling to, because without them, I'm so sweaty. I so didn't want to look like a sweaty person today. I will cling to this core of my program because I'm so terrified of relapse. I'm really lucky and I feel so grateful that this is my third recovery. And as my old counsellor, my day program, said to me on this recovery, it's that, you know, that you do not have to ever use again, Louisa. You do not have to use again, but, you know, because you've got meetings, you've got the how of the program, the honesty, the open-mindedness and the willingness. Honesty is something which I really thought, if I didn't tell you, then it wouldn't be a lie because I hadn't lied to you. And I really didn't get that. And I didn't get that it's that self-honesty. And I kind of thought, I probably learnt more masks being in recovery without a program than I did when I was using. When I was using, I was just a base junkie. When I was in, I hate that word, dry drunk. I did the best that I could. I went out and relapsed. I got clean again. I then decided not to be an estate agent anymore after that. So I went in the music business. I used again. This time round, it has been really hard. It's been really hard to be a lot older, to know I have tried every drug, every time. I thought if I don't use needles, then I'm all right. If I don't, you know, all these deals that I made with myself, that if I used, if I did control using, and I managed to do that for about 6 months, and I thought, yes, I'm not an addict, it's all bullshit. The long and the short of it is that I ended up, like I did when I was a teenage addict, this time round, I ended up in my bedroom with two kids, vermin all around the floor. I could only really swear. The world was out to get me, and I had court case, social services, and I went to a meeting in Notting Hill. I didn't know a single person in it. It was packed, and I thought, there was this real sense of they have something that I really, really wanted. Because in my sort of 13-year relapse, I'd forgotten everything. My illness makes me so ill at ease, it's so primitive and patient, my illness, but once I'm in full addiction, everything goes out of the window. Coming back in, it was that clinging on to it and thinking, okay, it's not about getting the car, the hi-fi, the dog, the boyfriend. It's about getting a relationship with my higher power. It's getting a sponsor, and I've had the same sponsor since I came back, and she is the most amazing, patient, loving woman who I've learned to trust on a level that I didn't think I could trust another woman, who I will still beat myself up because I still will go back to, if I'm not vigilant with the steps, I will go back to, I've got to be perfect, I'm not doing it right. Why, you know, I compare, or I try and kid myself, or my denial kicks in, or I'm impatient. What the biggest gift my sponsor has taught me is that this isn't a race, and that to be patient, that it took me, thank you, it took me a while to really get to know that my higher power is loving and kind, that they're not going to whip me, I'm not going to be punished, that as long as I have a daily contact with my higher power, which I do, without it, my head goes completely backwards, my ego steps in, I become resentful, everything goes. I'm the kind of addict who is so, you know, I need to pray every day. I need to do my step 10s every night. I need to talk to someone in recovery every day. I need to go to a minimum of 3 meetings a week. And I've done service, as I said, from when I've been detoxing. I have done service. For me, that relationship of helping a newcomer, helping somebody on a script. In my case, I was on 100 mils of meth for quite a while, and because I had kids, they said, no, you've got to stay on methadone. Because I've been clean before, I've said, well, I want to be abstinent. No, government statistics say that if you are a single mum, you need to be on 100 mils of meth because they'd be a better mother. But I use on top. I don't understand. My body doesn't understand about the difference of legal drugs and illegal drugs. They didn't guess it. So, and then I felt I didn't have a place in this fellowship because I was on meth. And it was a really lonely place to be because I wanted to be like you guys. But I had to take all this. I want to swear. I'm not going to. I had to take all this meth and then my sub is or whatever. So, but then I then went to different meetings and I did. And then I realised that judgment wasn't from you guys, it was from me. It wasn't you saying you can't be on here because you're a methadone. It was me because I wanted to be this perfect person. My sponsor, and that's just a highlight because that affects all areas of my own life, is that sometimes it takes me a year, 6 months to get something. And what I'm excited about is it's going to take a lifetime. And it's sometimes quick, it's sometimes slow. But I'm really grateful to be clean, to have my life back. I have 2 amazing kids. I have hope. I have love. I even have bits of courage that I can sit here sweating, but at least they're not making you all a cup of tea, so be grateful for that. And I don't think I've said the C word or the F word once, which is that I can change, and it's thanks to you guys, it's thanks to meetings, it's thanks to, you know, to get your life back in your 40s when you have trashed it on every single way, you know, and have to have a third recovery, which is an inside job this time. It's a spiritual program, and it's ever-changing. And, you know, God knows what's going to happen in the future, but I don't have to worry about that because it's just for today. And I love this program, and thank you very much for listening, and I'm going to shut up.